Okay. I must have something going on. I can't see anybody, but I can hear
Me
you.
too. Me too. I'm the same way. I just there's no. Actually, I can see Kristen moving around in her little square, but I can't. Everything else is black.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Well.
Well, I can see you all. So.
You're the seer for the
Well, anyway, let's make a start. If anyone wants to join, they can add come in as they go. So, right. So anyone want to start with? Think.
I missed you yesterday. I had a power outage in my so my power was out for over an hour, so I woke up. Well, an hour over an hour later. Or I got behind an hour later, I should say.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. So, doing anything anyone wants to start with?
Well, I must say that I am very thankful for I just started the latest module, and I know that's not exactly our meeting focus per se, but for in going through all of those and the teachings, the engaging, the exercises, I feel like I feel so blessed. So I really appreciate all that you've put into it. I'm very thankful to the Lord for all of this, and I feel like I'm just blossoming, and my spirit's gaining a lot, and I'm just able to, even to the point of leading others. We had a youth event here on Saturday, and I just did some very basic, simple exercises with them, and some of the testimonies from these younger people were crazy awesome. I mean, the interactions and stuff they were having with Jesus and the different things that he was telling them and they were doing with him, et cetera, was just mind-blowing. And so, very, very excited. I'm very excited.
Good.
So yeah. So I want to just kind of put that out there, and it's a thank you, it's a testimony, it's several things, but very excited.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's basically, if it's about practice and engagement. I mean, that's the key. And, in a sense, I know a lot of people can already engage in a lot of different levels, but the reality is if we're our spirit needs to be strong, healthy, functioning in so many different areas if we're going to later on be able to engage in the fullness of where we are, and so yeah, I mean, thanks. It's I know in some senses it's not all the funky sort of, hey, we're doing this stuff in heaven stuff, but it is, if you're going to climb Mount Everest, if you've not got a base camp, you're not going to get there, and so it is one of those things that it's well worth the preparation to work that stuff through so that it becomes a lifestyle of my spirit can see, hear, I can engage because I've practiced developing those senses, when I need to rather than sometimes when God chooses to. So that's great. I mean, it's really encouraging to hear the testimonies of young people who engage, because if you just treat it as a, hey, this is really simple, really easy, that's what they will do. They haven't got a lot of the hang-ups that we have had and all the religious stuff that we've had that you can't do this and this, you can't do that and you can't do the other. So that's a really great testimony. So thank you for that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I tell you,
Excellent.
it blessed me tremendously to hear them,
Okay.
and I agree. You don't always,
Yeah.
I haven't before. You often hear people talking about different things, engaging different ways that they've interacted with God, with heaven, et cetera, but you don't ever really get, you always go like, you can almost feel like they're so far away from you or so much more advanced, and in some ways I guess they are, but there's never really a bridge to gap, you know, to gap between the two, between hearing the experiences and you being able to walk it out and learn how to engage yourself and really putting a lot of the choice and purpose in your own hands, as opposed to just hoping it all works out one day, that someday you'll have this gift or you'll walk in this, which a lot of things are gifted by the Spirit, I understand, but then we also have a very important role in that, which it's new. I've kind of always had the idea and the understanding, but through all these sessions and everything, it's really, it's helped me tremendously. So, yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Right.
You know, I go to Spokane area about once a month. They have an inner city kind of a street ministry thing. And it's interesting to see a lot of these people that are, you know, just out there, so to speak. You know, they get a few hundred people, and then there's a larger crowd that even comes after that. But they have been engaging. You know, just in the heavenly realm. And I mean, I'm talking all kinds of walks. I mean, from gay people to whatever. And they're just like having these awesome experiences and just major breakthroughs in their life. And it's interesting how someone has really minimal knowledge of, you know, of really anything spiritual, and are able to abandon themselves to this idea of just, you know, engaging with God and in a way that they never had before, and just see that door just suddenly open for them. And so that's pretty cool.
But, you know, I mean, I think that's really where it's at. God is looking for willing people. Not experts, not people who know it all, but just willing people who are willing to step in and just engage, you know. And I know that's frustrating for some people. They've been trying and they're trying and trying, but that's reality. It's not something to strive to do. It's, you have to relax.
Yeah.
When you relax and you don't know anything, and it's just, oh, well, just try this and have a go at this, and there's no pressure, and it's not like, oh, you can't do this, and if you can't do that, then it's easier. You know, it's when, you know, people have a lot of religious background, and it's like that, hey, they've got to overcome, you can't do that, and that's not biblical, and that's not scriptural, and that's new age and all that stuff. People who've got no hang-ups with any of that stuff, it's almost like, okay, just do this and do that and do this, and hey, you can do this, you know. And I think that's really good. You know, we've found that with lie busting people. Some people have had, who are not even Christian, you just say, okay, this is what's going to happen. We're just going to ask a question. You're going to listen for an answer. God is going to speak to you in your mind. You'll get a thought or a picture, and they just do. And they're not even born again yet, you know, but God can engage with them if they're open, if their hearts are open, you know, and it's an exciting thing, really. And I think for a lot of people who have tried, it's like they have to learn to chill out and relax, because that's when it becomes easier, you know. Be still and know, you know, not strive for a whole lot of activity, and maybe no, just be still and know. And I think that's a key place of beginning, really, is to help people to just get to that place where, look, just relax, don't try, just relax, and just allow your spirit to engage, you know. Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to ask you a question about, I think you mentioned this some time ago, or I've heard this phrase about rewriting history, or, you know, just kind of like you're writing your own story, per se, as far as your journey in God and things that are revealed. And what I'm finding is, some time ago when I had that encounter, the scribal encounter, and the Lord saying, you're going to, you know, eternity, you will continue to write about my kingdom because it's an ever-expanding kingdom. Well, I'm finding that I'm writing or looking into things on, you know, kind of on that level now that are even beyond, how do I say this where it sounds right, but even like it doesn't contradict the word by no means, and there's probably areas you can find it in there. However, it's still something else. And so I'm finding more of that happening. And, of course, you know, sometimes I'm sharing these things publicly and sometimes not, just depending on, you know, what's going on or where the people are at. What are you, what's your thoughts on that as far as, you know, like we use the terms where we're writing, you know, our own acts or our experiences and so forth, but they just seem to be, or not seem to be, are chartering new waters and, you know, really causing us to venture out more into some very unique and powerful areas.
Well, I think if you're thinking of it as in terms of, look, we're engaging where the books are being opened, you know, and in the books being opened, the revelation that's been not there in previous generations is now available to us, then there must be an ever increasing increase in the revelation that we receive. If his government is always increasing, then so must our revelation of him. And I think, I mean, I love the word of God, and, you know, I've learned to engage it, and I can look at it and I can get revelation out of it because I've practiced that for so long. But we can't expect God, who is infinite, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, to be contained within a book.
Right.
The story which helps us to engage God. And obviously Jesus is the living word, but the reality is there is eternity, there is an infinite aspect to God that we are sort of engaging in the immanence, but there's the transcendent, there's the, you know, dimensional, which is so far beyond what we have experienced in this realm. When we go into the realm of heaven, we're going to see things, experience things which are beyond our sort of two-dimensional things. It's like, you know, if you are a two-dimensional being and you live on a flat page, and somebody comes and places their finger into that page, all you'll see is a round circle, because that's the only way of engaging. It's flat. Now, right. What we're being shown is that there are more colors, more dimensions than we ever thought possible. And we're beginning to engage in the fragrances and all those things of those things that we never thought existed, you know, and that really is, I think, what we're experiencing. It's always been so. It's just we never had the capacity to engage it.
Yeah.
There we are, and it's expanding, you know, the understanding of the government of God. Everything is just so much more, you know. I mean, for the last 6 weeks, I've been contemplating really the next sort of module of the Alpha thing. And, you know, I've been looking at, okay, first love. And it's like, my thing was, okay, probably, you know, we'll do a session on first love and we'll learn to open the gate and that'll be it. But as I've been contemplating it, I basically open my first love gate myself every day. And God would not let me go. He embraced me there and just kept me there. And in keeping me there, I embraced the Holy Spirit one day, and the next day Jesus would embrace me, and the next day the Father would embrace me. Then they would all embrace me. And the revelation and experience that I had in understanding what first love was, what it was to engage the Holy Spirit as a person, to engage Jesus as a person, the Father as a person. As they embraced me, it's almost like it totally expanded my whole perception of my relationship with God. Now, I've been pursuing intimacy for years. This right. was just a totally different dimension. And it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, I have a whole module on first love and what it is to be a house of God and what it is to engage the river and what it is to engage. I mean, just because I just was embraced by them and in being drawn near to them, it's like my heart just received an impartation. You know, it was like, and it suddenly occurred to me of the nature of being drawn near to the heart of God and being heart to heart engaged. And it's like, you know, the whole thing of John, you know, the apostle John, he lay his head on Jesus's breast. He described himself as the apostle or the one that he had that caused him to write a gospel which was totally different from all the other gospels, had mm-hmm. stuff in it that's not in any of the other gospels. There's no confirmation in most of the stuff that John wrote in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And he had this stuff like, you know, rivers of living water, drinking living water, about worshiping in spirit and in truth, about I am, and the statements in the other gospels. Now, did he tune into something? Did God give him revelation of something because of the intimacy that he developed? I think so. And then you get, then he's able to then write things in the epistles that no one else is writing. And then he's in Revelation, he is able to step into the Spirit and be in the Spirit when no one else is. You know, you have Paul who engages in heaven as a one-off, as it seems, but John basically is able to be in the Spirit. And so there's a whole revelatory understanding and dimension that's come out of his being able to lay his head on Jesus's breast, you know, almost like be heart to heart. And that's what I felt when God embraced me and kept embracing me and wouldn't let me go. I just felt I received something so much deeper than I'd done before, you know, and I believe all that stuff is like, there is so much more, you know, and to try and describe it in sort of, oh, well, we know it all, we've got it all together. I mean, it's just ridiculous when you come to think of who God is.
Yeah.
You know, just the realms and the dimensions that we've yet to see, that they're there. I mean, science tells us that there are at least 10 different dimensions, you know, in string theory. So it's like, okay, yes, there is going to be so much more than the Bible actually reveals, but it is a plumb line that enables us to ensure that the character and nature and the principles and precepts of God are the foundation of what we will go on to experience. But what we will go on to experience is way more. We know the Bible says, yes, there is a court in heaven. We know the Bible says there's an assembly in heaven. We know the Bible says certain things. It doesn't go into great detail. So when we go into heaven and we suddenly go into a court, we will experience a whole different dimension of things than the Bible says, and that's great. And so the fivefold ministry, which is an earthly ministry to equip the church, has a counterpart in heaven, and it is Son, King, Priest, Oracle, and Legislator. So there are oracles and legislators, which I think comes into when you're talking about scribes and right. scribing things and writing things out. that we're supposed to engage in. You know, being an oracle and being a legislator is a heavenly function, not an earthly one. Yes, it has an earthly outworking, but it's a heavenly one. And I think this is where we're now being able to be in the Spirit. And being able to be in the Spirit, what did John see? A whole host of things that he found it very difficult to describe. You know, he did his best to first century people in the world to describe a realm that to a degree is not describable in those terms. Now we're going there, and now we're actually being able to describe it in different terms so that people can engage it. So I think absolutely we just scratched the surface. You know, I mean, there are things and places I've been to that I've not talked about to others because I'm not felt free to do so as yet. You know, but I'm engaging them, and I'm sure there are a whole lot of host of others who are engaging them. I mean, I know there's legislation going on in the realms of heaven, limiting and bringing government into the earth, because I've heard some of the people tell me what some of them are doing. Now, most people are totally unaware of that, but that coming into sonship and being a joint heir with Christ and being a royal priesthood is a new order. And so a new order will have a new language, and we'll see new things and have different access, because it is a new order, you know, and it's a heavenly order. You know, the Aaronic priestly function of the earth was earthly. It was priestly.
Right.
Now the order in heaven is kingly priestly. So there's an additional function to, not only do we get to engage in and administer into intimacy as a priest, we get to administer in legislative as a king, you know. And some people are called to be oracles, and some people are called to be legislators. That's on a totally different dimension than most of us have experienced up till this point. So I think stuff you're seeing is going to just get more.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to increase.
Yeah. It's interesting. Some of the things you're saying last night, you know, before I went to bed, I was just posted a little thing on Facebook about basically just beware of those who come across as fully understanding, you know, the Bible or, you know, that type of thing. That, you know, because we've just begun at a, you know, in another dimension and other realms, and even though we might, it's what it looks like in the moment, and in the moment where we're at in our level of maturity, it looks like we arrived, but when we go deeper, we realize, oh my gosh, you know, now there's a whole nother you know, a whole nother episode, a whole nother revelation for me to walk out and live in. And I think that's going to become so more apparent in the future. And you know, the other thing I like about this is that there's a lot of teachings out there that seem to only influence the kingdom of the church. I mean, you know, which is great, but I feel that a lot of this other stuff reaches multiple kingdoms. It's not just influencing, you know, the church per se as we know it, but it's reaching into every kingdom and influencing those kingdoms and bringing, you know, them into, like even when, you know, I was downtown Spokane and different things going on, there were people that were representing different kingdoms and were engaging with God for the first time. And, you know, therefore that realm being influenced in a very powerful way. And I just see that shift going on to where it's just not like an in-house, you know, influence of just, you know, rehashing things over and over, but, you know, breaking into new ground. So that's very refreshing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And in terms of that, that's where the increase of the government will come. You know, we are called to have dominion, and as sons of God being manifested, we're called to answer the groan of creation, not just you know, and dominion is for the whole of creation. And therefore the government of God is going to be expanding beyond what we can even now see or encounter. So it's not going to stop. And I think, you know, the church age, kingdom age, which was focused on earth and focused on establishing earthly kingdoms, you know, this new order of heavenly government and the order of Melchizedek is a totally different thing. It's completely different. Because the way in which it's administered is different. Everything comes out of that government, and we don't get to administer government on earth without engaging heaven. You can't do it anymore.
Right.
It's not going to work. Grace has been removed from it. So unless we learn to engage heaven and to establish government there, so that the kingdom, which really is just where God rules, when you break it down to its basics form, it's where God rules. We want to see God ruling in us, through us, and in the governmental spheres. I mean, Satan took Jesus up to the highest point in the realm of the kingdom of God and showed him all the kingdoms. He wasn't just showing him the nations of the world. He was showing him all the dimensions of government that we have to administer. Now, Jesus took back that government, and so he has now got higher than all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, and we go in him. So we now have access to levels of governmental authority that we never, ever dreamed was possible, you know, but you have to do it beyond the veil. And that is going to be the crucial point. Are people willing to go into that realm and therefore establish government there so they can be a gateway of that government on the earth? And those that are going to be given more and more authority. Because those that don't want it, their authority, of course, Jesus said, will be taken away and given to those who do want it. So all those people who don't want to engage, they're just giving us greater dimensions of authority to operate in. Now, desiring is that we would want them to engage, you know. Right. And so we've got to find ways to interact, connect, present this as a not just something that's for those weird, wacky sort of people, but actually for everybody. This is how it should be. You know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if we don't know as it is, how is it ever going to come? So we have to access the realm where as it is works, you know. And so I think this is going to operate, influencing the government of everything, you know, and that is not just what we've seen, you know. I mean, the kingdom or the church, you know, when you look at church, it has been very much, as you say, earthbound and insular and self-protective, at large, and that whole thing has got to shift.
Yeah.
And we have to become those that begin to bring dominion into every sphere. God created every governmental sphere for us to exercise dominion. He has made us joint heirs with Christ into all those governmental spheres, which is just amazing, you know, when you think of it like that. But yeah, so good stuff.
Well, you morning, know, Mike. Too. Hey, good morning, Mike. I hear papers crunching.
I wanted to say good morning this time. Last time I was silent all
so week. Anyone got anything else in terms of sharing? Anyone else who hasn't shared yet?
I wanted you, Mike, can you hear me?
Yep.
I wanted you to change my name to Johnny. I'm always Johnny come lately by the time I figure out how to get on this this thing. So pardon me for that. That's not that I'm not interested. I've been running and
quite a bit in the last few weeks, and every time I dial up, I'm in another city, so I'm really drinking this in. So thank you for your patience with me. Would you go over that list again? I'm kind of on the catching up on some of these things. You were talking fivefold and the heavenly counter.
It's sun, which ultimately is the highest level of governmental authority is sonship, but there are other outworkings of that in kingship, priesthood. There's a king, priest, oracle, and legislator. And so that really is a key, understanding that there are functions in the realms of heaven that are of a different order, and we have to engage that. I mean, there's obviously a process, a protocol of engagement in which, Zechariah 3, yes, we need to walk in his ways here and to walk in obedience and walk out in holiness in his ways here, but we have to learn how to operate, have the principles of God in the kingdom from the realms of heaven, and then to have charge of the house and charge of the courts, and then to have access standing in his presence. And all that is a process. And so once you engage in the realm of heaven, you begin to find who your identity is. We're all sons, and in a sense we're all kings and we're all priests, because the order of Melchizedek is a kingdom of priests. It's a royal priesthood. Then the functions that come out of that in terms of oracle, we would say that's a prophetic function on the earth, but actually in the heaven, being an oracle is engaging in the, how can I describe it, in the heart of God and the mind of God and the purposes of God, and having a fuller revelation of who God is in that, and then being able to release that. And being a legislator, I think, is a whole different dimension. And I personally believe that many of the angelic beings who are functioning in heaven are functioning in roles that are designed for us. And we just haven't matured to a point where we can actually operate yet in those roles, but they're waiting for us to be ready. And so I think there's roles of legislation, chancellorship, scribes, that I know that there are courts that function in this, that we will begin to get access to, and we will begin to recognize our own identity in some of those legislative places. Because legislation is what brings government into outworking. It's like, I think, and you have your legislative sense of the House of Representatives and those things, where certain things, I mean, even things that, let's say, your president decides that he wants to do, has to go through a legislative process so that it's brought into law, then it can be outworked. And so there's a whole dimension of legislation in the realms of heaven, which we are just starting to touch into. And then the kingdom influence that we will have will begin to shape and change the face of our planet, but also into the face of the whole of creation. And there are things which are hidden for us, so that when we engage them, we can then begin to release the revelation and the experience of those mysteries onto the earth. And some of those are the things that we're sort of starting to see and starting to experience and starting to engage in. So, I think the order of Melchizedek is what we need to start engaging in, and it is a heavenly order, not an earthly one. And that's the major change. You can't legislate it here. And so many ministries are trying to legislate it under the atmosphere. And if you're under something, you have no authority over it. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus said that the enemy is under our feet. Because we have to be above it to exercise authority over it. And therefore, a lot of what is going on in activity-wise is earthly, and therefore trying to administer to the earth. Now, there's a sense where, yes, the church needs to come to maturity, but the fivefold ministers haven't done the job. You know, rather than teaching and equipping the saints to engage, they've done it themselves, you know, and been set up on their mountains and pedestals and mediatorial positions. There is no mediatorial position when it comes to engaging in heaven, you know, and therefore we have to operate in a different dimension. So a lot of this stuff is just getting revealed so that we can begin to embrace it. But, you know, so those are some of the orders. Then you have, of course, you know, the engagement with the lion and the ox and the eagle and the man. So you still have, you know, the priestly function there, and the apostolic and the prophetic and the kingly function. And you get lots of these patterns. You know, you get threes and fours and fives and sevens and twelves and tens. You suddenly start to see that there are patterns that are being outworked. Interestingly, this morning, I spent some time in the presence of God, and I just, as I came out of it, I went to engage with wisdom, and wisdom took me to one of the chancellor's houses. And in this chancellor's house, there was just masses of pillars, and all these pillars were being prepared. So I'm like really intrigued, you know, where am I? What am I in? Which house am I in? And why am I seeing these pillars? So, you know, I then come out of it with this, I need to find out about pillars. So I suddenly start engaging the word, and I start meditating around pillars. And then I suddenly find references to numerous pillars with numbers attached to them. You know, there's three pillars. Then there's four pillars, then there's five pillars, then there were seven pillars. Wisdom's house, effectively, it says, was there were seven pillars that were hewn out. Then I found there was 12 pillars and 10 pillars, and I'm like, wow, there's a whole lot of pillars here. What are they? You know, I'm now in the process of engaging what those pillars represent, what they were in heaven, and how they're going to be represented on the earth. So many, when I started looking into the whole tabernacle thing, which essentially is a pattern, an earthly pattern of a heavenly reality, it was just talking about loads of pillars. And okay. And then I found that one of the altars was built on 12 pillars. And I was like, okay. And then Jacob set up a pillar, you know, and it was like, wow, that was Bethel. Mm-hmm. And so there was just all of a sudden, just in one thing, it opened up a whole realm that now I've got to go and find out about, because I need to understand the protocol of how pillars function. Because there is something significant, because this was in a specific room, a house, to do with legislative government, and pillars were absolutely key. I understood about pillars, and I know that it was sort of pillars in the church, you know, but you know, the first pillar that's mentioned in the Bible, actually what happens to Lot's wife when she looked back, she became a pillar of salt. Mm-hmm. Now I've got to find out what the reason that was for and what the significance, because that's the first mention of pillars in the Bible. So there was a precedent that was set. And it's like, right now, I'm like, I have no idea what that is. Yeah, I know all the things, but why, what did it mean in relation to understanding pillars and in understanding these heavenly engagement with pillars? I know that there were two pillars in the enemy's temple. God showed me that a long time ago. because I can put my hands on both of them, push them down like Samson did. Because he was able to collapse the whole temple system of Dagon by just collapsing two pillars. So all this stuff, all of a sudden, it's just like, okay, wow. You know, I had no understanding of that before. So I get an encounter that opens up all this revelation. Now I've got to go and now I'm responsible, which is what happens when you have an engagement. You're now responsible. So I'm now responsible for understanding the legislative and of pillars and what those pillars are going to be. You know, I mean, I went into another room the other day and it was like, it was filled with lightning bolts. And I was sort of looking at these lightning bolts and it's like, they all had declarations on them. So I'm like, okay, what are these? What are we supposed to do with them? And so then it's like, okay, now I need to understand how lightning bolts work. And this is how it happens with me. God, you know, I just get taken to places, see things, and then I'm responsible for the revelation that to find out, and then to understand the protocols of it. Then I got to pass that information on to others so that they can begin to administrate it. You know, because they're all tied together. This is the thing. These 12 Chancellor's Houses are tied together in that you have to understand the order and the protocol of how these things, because I just can't go and throw these lightning bolts to Earth as much as I'd like to. I couldn't, because they were certain things that required certain other things to be done first before those things. Now I'm understanding the pillars are linked to the lightning bolts. Because it's about the ordinances and it's about the precepts and it's about the statutes of God. And I need to understand how they function so that we can bring legislation and we can begin to see things move, because we're going to be one of the other Chancellor's Houses is the affairs of nations. And one of the others is culture. And so we are going to have to be able to establish these pillars that enable us to bring these things into the earth. And I'm like, oh man, this is a whole other understanding and dimension that I'd never even seen before. You know, now some people hopefully may have already got revelation of it and they can share it, but otherwise I'm gonna have to go back and explore and meditate around it and go and seek wisdom's guidance and direction. You know, because actually we're called to legislate. And I think many people are going to be functioning in the chancellorships in these governmental realms. You know, therefore, we're going to need to know this stuff. You know, and there's a few other places I've been. You know, about 2 months ago, I'd only been to one of these chancellor's houses. I'd seen them all and not been there. And I just realized that over the last few months, usually when I'm least expecting it, I get whisked off to one of these places, and you know, I've now been to quite a number of them, which opens up these dilemmas for me. Now it's like, now I'm responsible because I've seen something, to begin to understand how to legislate it. So yeah, a lot of things in these heavenly understanding of things, which is just beyond, you know, Mike was saying earlier, you know, it's like there is so much more he is seeing. And the more we see, the more we know there is to see. You know, that's how it's worked for me. I have a level of revelation that draws me deeper. Then there's another level of revelation. Then that draws me deeper. And there's another level. I'm sure there's going to be levels upon levels, because God is multifaceted, if you like. So yeah, there we go. So have you got anything, Kristen, you want to ask or share? Or Sarah, I'm not sure we've got your avatar there. It's nice to welcome you, although we can't see you. So if you've got anything you want to ask, feel free.
I have a 2-year-old too, so if you hear noise, it's my daughter. So I'm Mike Lindell's daughter-in-law, and this is my first time, like, I don't know very much about anything. And I started having these experiences, and Mike's like, you've got to read this, you've got to watch this, you've got to, you know, and so I didn't really want to at first because I wanted it to be very, you know, I wanted the Lord to just do whatever. And so I'm in this place where I have these experiences, and I always go to like the same few places, or like everything is white, or I'm in this garden place, like it's the same all the time. But I want to go like to the courts, like I want to go other places. So how does that happen? Like, what do I do to engage? Do I just ask the Lord, or?
I think the key into it is that you're having experiences that open up a realm for you to engage in. And then in engaging in that realm, it will lead you into deeper revelatory experiences. So don't think you have to do everything at once. The key is to engage intimacy and to get close to the heart of God so that you can experience the heart of God. And then that will direct you out of that. It's like, you know, government without relationship ends in control. And we don't want to be trying to do things out of that. We want to be able to follow the right pathway and to pursue the intimacy that will lead us into these things as our spirit directs, not our soul. I've had to sort of really deal with my soul recently because I wanted to know certain things which were legitimate things to know. But I realized that it was my soul's desire. And so my soul's desire can be out of timing with my spirit's desire. And so I had to surrender and yield what I thought was my inquisitive nature. And because my redemptive gift wants to be able to explain things to people, I want to know how they function and how they work. I had to surrender that. And as I surrendered it, my spirit just took me into depths and realms that I would have never got to just by pursuing it out of my soul desire. My spirit now is engaging and drawing me into those things. And so my encouragement would be just follow the pathways, you know, develop the relational pathways that will enable you eventually to bring government, and don't try, and it's not a race, you know. And the more we know of God, and the more we know him, and the more we know ourselves in relation to him, the more we will recognize the governmental spheres that we've been called into, you know. And yeah, there are things you can listen to about the courts, and you can have a understanding of some of the protocol of what to do in some of those things. But your experiences, if God is not taking you to a court and showing you the protocol, go with the encounters that he's giving you right now, because those are the ones he's wanting to open up. So the garden. Now, you can go to different dimensions of garden. Yes, you can develop the garden in your own heart, but we can go into Eden and we can begin to engage in the things in that garden. So we can go into the Father's garden. We can go into other dimensions. So if you're experiencing light, where is that? Ask God for revelation. Where is this light? And when he shows you where it is, then you'll have an understanding of what it is that you're being called to engaging in the light, because that may well be a place of transformation. It may, you know, there are many light places, but knowing which one it is will give you an indication of what you need to do to get revelation from that place that will eventually enable you to function in the fullness of sonship. But sonship can only come out of fatherhood. And so we need to engage in the relationship that will eventually lead to these places, and don't sort of like strive over it. Just embrace and engage and re-engage in where you are so that those places will open up. You know, and that will be a safe place for you to explore, so that you can follow these things through. Because, you know, I mean, I've, you know, being a forerunner, you get to see all sorts of stuff and go to all sorts of places. But I would rather, you know, now I'm sort of helping people to do this systematically, it's helped me, because I've re-engaged places that I engaged at a particular level. Now in re-engaging it, I've gone deeper and realized that they're deeper still, which then will enable me to do what I'm doing in these other levels even better than I was before. So I think relationship is the absolute key. Intimacy. Okay. and go with these, you know, garden encounters and just develop them. That would be my encouragement in it.
Okay, I definitely think that's confirmation, because every like experience that I've had has been so intimate and so like God speaking something into me or over me or calling me, you know, something, or, you know, clothing me with whatever, and it's like it's been so personal. And, you know, part of me is like, I don't want this to be about me. I don't just want to go and have these great experiences. Like, I want to bring something back for other people. I want to help people. And so that's where it's like, you know, I'm torn, but obviously this is where God needs me to be for whatever, you know, however long.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it is the ultimate place is going back into the heart of God, and that's where we were birthed, in the womb of his heart, if you like, where his thoughts about us are. And when we can engage in that, it brings us into the revelation of who we are. I mean, the key in everything is making sure everything we do comes out of from who we are as our identity, rather than looking to do things for our identity. And that's why the intimacy and spending the time there is key, and God is calling you. And what and also in these places, what I would encourage you to do is not always try and cognitively understand, because there are things that God will impart to your spirit that your mind is not ready for, but your spirit is, and you will receive them. There will be a frequency, a resonance, if you like, that your spirit has, that will come into an alignment of with revelation that your mind is not yet ready for. So don't be surprised that when you get into an embrace with God, actually you may not understand and know what happened, but you know something did. But it will all be part of the journey, because your spirit later on will release that and will bring you into a revelatory understanding of it. Because it must come from the inside out. And so our spirit needs to embrace our soul, and then our soul in surrender facilitates engagement with our body, and then our body with the world. It all starts in the spirit. So there's so much that I have received that I don't have any cognitive understanding of as yet. But I know my spirit has received it, particularly when you go to places like the Firestones, or sometimes even the Garden of God. You know, it's just, I know something's happened. I just can't say I know cognitively, but my spirit knows. And the more sensitive I am in my spirit, the more that will begin to shape and draw and direct me and lead me. So, yeah.
And Mike, I believe I heard recently you mention about journaling or writing these down.
Yeah.
Different your experiences that you have, so that you can, I mean, I know you'll revisit them, but also you have them, you know, on paper, I guess. Would you say that's accurate?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would encourage everybody to journal. It's like, so, because we get so much things that we can't often take it all in anyway.
Yeah.
And so by journaling what you have experienced and what you've seen, then it becomes a doorway to go back through, and so then you can engage at another level with it. And you know, it's what we're encouraged to do. Habakkuk, you know, write the vision. You know, in other places it talks about writing it out. And by putting it down, it means you have a place of re-engagement with it. You know, then our memory of things doesn't let us down. And, you know, I mean, I've still got stuff that I've journaled that I've, you know, I'm still working through, you know, but I journal everything. I mean, this month I've had a whole massive journal because I've just spent so much time just embracing God and not actually legislating so much that there's just revelation upon revelation that is there for me to explore. But I've got everything there that I can go back to. And what I do is I have a monthly journal. So I have a journal for each month. I mean, I use a tablet, which I has got handwriting recognition, so that basically I write it down and it turns it into a Word file, which I then send by Evernote to every computer. So I have it then, and I can cut and paste it and put it into other things, and I can pull out legislative stuff and put them into a legislative document, because I have legislative, a journal which is about the legislative aspect. I have an intimacy journal, if you like, which is the intimate. So I can pull things out, and then I can begin to pull patterns together in the different things. I mean, that, you know, I might just be, you know, a geek and but, you know, I can then refer to things, you know. It's like I'm not then, oh, where was that stuff that God showed me, that legislative thing? No, I can go back to that journal and I will be able to engage it, you know. So it's a real important thing. Mm-hmm. And to get into the habit, because, you know, and it, what it also does when you're developing listening to God, you can ask him a question and then just begin to write down what he says. You don't have to analyze it or try and figure it out. You just write it down, and then when you look back at what you've written, you find, wow, because you haven't tried to engage in the cognitive, I need to understand this right now. You just flow. So you can just flow, and just by writing, I mean, you know, there's always a counterfeit that the enemy does. You know, the counterfeit would be automatic writing. You know, it's not automatic writing. I'm just writing down what the Spirit and what the Father says to me. Yeah. And so the thoughts that he says, I ask him something, he answers, I just write it. And it isn't until later that I go back and I look and say, okay, this is what he was saying. This is what he was saying. Hey, I didn't understand. What did that mean? Because I just write it. Some things I don't understand what they mean yet, but then it triggers me to go back and find out. You know, and sometimes, okay, yes, you can just listen, but I've actually found it much more effective to write. You know, because if you do listen, then you do want to write something, you have to then go back and then try and remember what you listened to. So right. If you write that automatically, you know, now it's not always possible. You know, if you're in a wildly experienced somewhere, you know, you can't just always write it down, but I always have my journal there. I have my tablet with me. So I tend to be able to now engage in my spirit and write while I'm engaging, you know, because I've just practiced and learned and taught myself to do it. So I'm again, learning to do more than one thing at the same time. You know, so I'm learning about how I live in dual realms because I'm practicing doing two things at the same time. Now, because I've done this a lot, I find it easier to do it. You know, you got to find a way that works for you, I guess. But I think having a record is important. You know, Mike. And Mike was saying earlier, you know, if he's going to be writing and being a scribe to the things in eternity, you're gonna get used to writing now.
Mike,
a good thing to do, definitely.
Mike, do you find certain times of the day different for you?
Okay. Can I've you got hear a couple me? Of minutes. Have you got anything, Kristen, you want to share? Yeah, give you a chance.
Well, I have more than a couple of things, but since we just have a couple of minutes, I do want to thank you. The last time we got together, you gave me some counsel about how you encourage your church and how you move forward and how you brought some things to people's attentions. And it's been pretty awesome. So I've been changing up the worship and everything, and We've been actually doing some teaching and talking before and then encouraging people to engage. Yeah. And then I'm not even putting words up or anything like that. And it's been pretty amazing, and people have been going places.
Excellent.
It's very awesome. And then, you know, you have, then we share afterwards of where they've gone, and some people are being healed in their encounters, and it's pretty amazing. So I wanted to thank you very much. It's
I mean, yeah, we are encountering stuff ourselves at a whole different level at the moment, just encountering seven spirits of God and the angelic, and just people are just stepping on colors and stepping on flags that have been put down and just being taken to places. You know, it's just, you know, but it took to establish the government of God to be able to release that, you know, and now we're benefiting from pressing through and establishing things that before we were struggling with. Now people are beginning to exercise governmental authority on the mountains, then all of a sudden there's room for God to do things he didn't do before, you know. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on like that. So it sounds pretty awesome. And the more you engage it, the more you will, you know, go into it. And I would, yeah, testimonies are really important in it, because they open up the avenue for others to say, wow, yeah. And some people will be, oh yeah, I saw that. And it will be a confirmation to people as well that, hey, what they saw wasn't just a figment of their imagination. Other people were seeing similar things. And that's always good to confirm that and give confirmation. So definitely a good thing. So yeah, keep going with it. It's excellent.
Say, Mike.
Okay,
Mike. You're welcome. Mike, one more question. Oops. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Do you find different times of the day easier to get in than others? I know, you know, we talk about the night hours, the night's watches. Do you find that?
No. I mean, for me, if early morning works, I just get up in the quiet time and I just give the first of my day to God. So it's like I'm going to give him the best of my day. The night watch is really about engaging your soul and spirit while your body is asleep, and so it's not sort of the time to be asking loads of questions of God and the sort of developing the relationship. It's where you're looking to develop your soul's capacity to go in with your spirit and then cognitively remember what happened. I can't say that I'm very good at it. You know, my spirit engages every night. I mean, I send my spirit to somewhere before I go to sleep generally, and I wake up usually with things that my spirit has engaged with. But I have not learned how to actually actively have my soul awake. So it works for me better when I can just engage myself into those realms and just step through and mm-hmm. engage in that place. And then it sets me up for the day, because, you know, if I'm sort of asleep, it's like it's difficult to get a mandate for something that you're not sort of engaging in. So I find it easier. My spirit receives revelation there, but if I want to go and get a mandate from God for today, then I need to go and get a mandate for today. So it works better for me to do that at the start of the day. I'm not saying that other people might find better times. I know in my personal experience, those that say, oh, I'm a night person, you know, I've found that they spend more time doing other things at night than they do actually engage with God. Because actually it's the end of the day and their attention span is not actually that good, even though they think they're a night person. And those who say that they're not early morning persons are just deceiving themselves. Because if Jesus spent time in the morning, and in Isaiah it says that he was wakened morning by morning with the ear of a disciple, that's good enough for me.
Yep.
And so we need to train our bodies and train our senses in these things to our spirit to rule, you know. So I don't have any problem getting up because my spirit tells my body what to do now. Now I had to deal with that and to remove some of the issues, but I've just practiced that now. So that's generally how it works out for me. So anyway.
Thank you. I get a lot of my revelation at about 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
God wakes me up. I spend an hour or two and then go back to bed. But I sent my spirit last week to Africa, and it was quite interesting that the Lord instructed me to do that before I went to bed, because He had a mission for me to do over there in the nations that are invaded with this disease, this Ebola. Yeah. And so I sent my spirit over there. He hasn't told me what I did yet, but I was ministering to the saints over there that needed protection, needed divine intervention. So that's something I'm working on now.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, very good. Yeah, I mean, I think once we make ourselves available, then God can do all sorts of things with us. Mm-hmm. And if God wakes me up in the middle of the night, then I know that He's waking me up for a purpose and I'm awake. You know, it's like, rather than that, I wake up and I'm in that half wake, half sleep time, when I get a lot of revelation in that sort of period where I'm sort of semi awake, semi asleep, so I can sort of engage my soul and spirit at the same time there. But if he wakes me up, I'm awake, then I know, hey, I need, He's woken me for a purpose and I need to engage. Generally, I sleep really well and He doesn't wake me up unless I'm not aware of it. But in general, you know, we've got to find out the seasons and the way God works with us individually and go with that, you know. Okay. Right.